From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch. France is struggling to integrate Europe's largest Muslim population. A controversial law banning Islamic headscarves in public schools has triggered a national debate. Can France bring together a large Islamic population and the promise of liberty, equality, and fraternity? We continue our series on Muslims in Europe with a report from NPR's Sylvia Poggioli in Paris.
The large bronze female sculpture in the center of Place de la Nation is known as Marianne, proudly standing on the barricades. She's seen as the symbol of the main tenet of the Republic, the notion of laïcité, or secularism, the strict separation of church and state. French laïcité is now being challenged by a piece of cloth. The French state sees the Muslim headscarf as the first sign of a plot to Islamize the country. This is one of 1,500 French mosques and prayer halls. It's headquarters of the Union of French Islamic Organizations, the nation's largest Muslim group. The union protested the ban against schoolchildren wearing what are called ostentatious religious symbols, but then pulled back when two French journalists were taken hostage in Iraq in August. The kidnapping prompted large numbers of French Muslims to rally around the French state in an extraordinary display of unity. But now Union President Laj Thami Brez says his group intends to go ahead with individual lawsuits in support of the few girls who actually defied the ban.
We will go to court and ask, for example, if even a bandana is considered an ostentatious religious symbol. If the court so rules, that would mean that the law was specifically targeted against the practice of Islam, and we will have no choice but to establish our own schools.
The headscarf ban has also sharply divided Muslims. Sociologist Nadia Amiri unlocks the armored door to her unmarked office in a secure building. She got death threats after testifying before a government commission that headscarves are signs of female oppression. As a former nurse who's of Algerian origin, she says Muslim women who were hospitalized confided in her.
All women can be subject to violence, but there are specific abuses that happen only to Muslim women, like forced marriages. I saw many suicide attempts by young Muslim women only a few days after their weddings. They were raped by men they barely knew. The hospital is the place where all this violence is revealed.
The French Government Commission on Integration says there have been about 70,000 forced marriages in France in the past 3 years. And Amiri says there are increasing demands by Muslim men that their wives be visited only by female doctors. Hospitals are also providing more and more virginity certificates, knowing that if they don't, the girls' lives are in danger. And many mainstream French Muslims are worried about mounting Islamic machismo. Tahar Benjelloun is a Moroccan-born author and poet.
The real problem is ideological. Men, fathers, brothers want to keep their daughters, sisters, cousins and nieces in a submissive state as if they were living in Saudi Arabia. They fear the girls will escape their control, take advantage of French rights and laws to become self-confident and able to choose their own destiny.
France's estimated 5 million Muslims are still called immigrants, even though perhaps as many as one half are French citizens. Most of them live in the banlieues, outer city neighborhoods whose run-down housing projects have become symbols of social exclusion and despair. This is the large courtyard of a housing project in La Courneuve. There's nothing here, no benches, no playground. A little boy plays by himself chasing pigeons. Unemployment in the banlieues is 4 times the national average. A recent Interior Ministry report said that in urban ghettos like La Courneuve, integration of Muslims into the economic and social mainstream has stalled or gone into reverse. We catch up with 3 kids who are late for school. 14-year-old Ali says, "You sure can't say the banlieue is a calm place. All these places are tense. There are a lot of fights." The sons of the first generation of Muslim immigrants grew up here in France and often don't speak the language of their parents. Most are jobless and alienated, and have become prime targets for recruitment by Islamist preachers.
The young Islamic militants are all born again.
Olivier Roy is one of Europe's top scholars of contemporary Islam. He says Islamist preachers help these youths shed their ethnic labels and find their identity as Muslims and followers of what is touted as a universal, pure Islam that provides easy answers.
You don't feel integrated in the Western society? It's good, because Western society is not a Muslim society. So now you are in a position to find the true Islam. And you don't need to go to religious schools. You don't need to read a lot of books. You can be saved in 5 minutes. Just, you know, acknowledge that you are meeting God again.
The national debate over Islam in France is waged in newspapers and TV talk shows. But as Le Monde has written, this endless chatter still fails to acknowledge the stark reality of post-colonial discrimination, racism, and social inequality. There are still no Muslim members of parliament. Not one of France's 37,000 mayors is Muslim. And on job applications, many young Muslims adopt French-sounding names in the hopes of not being turned down. Rachid Benzine, a Moroccan-born scholar of Islam, says the concept of laïcité is unable to take diversity, cultural and religious, into account.
Le problème, c'est est-ce qu'on accepte.
The problem is whether France can accept that former colonial subjects can be French. Can an Arab really be French? We have a common past of conflict. We are unable to forgive each other. The wound of the Algerian Revolution has not healed. So it's hard to live together and create a common project.
Mainstream French Muslims want to be recognized as full-fledged French citizens with equal rights and duties.
Islamic country is not my country. My country is France. I accept the idea of laïcité, you know, democratic system, you know. This system is necessary and I have to explain why.
We meet 29-year-old French-born Abd El Malik in a Paris café. He's a rap singer, leader of the group New African Poets.
Noir, c'était moi le type, un certain genre de voyou. Il y avait une fosse, un mur, un univers entre moi et vous. Hier, je voulais tout cramer. Bourgeois, je détestais.
He's charming and articulate, a sharp contrast with his adolescence in the hard streets where he was a petty thief and drug pusher. When he was 15, he was drawn to hardline Islam.
The first people who talked me about Islam don't really give me the real message of Islam. So it was like a political thing, not religion thing. And I became spiritual gangster. This sort of Islam, it's a so-called Islam, because for me it's not real. It's a gangster way of thinking, you know?
Abd El Malik says he has since discovered a positive, loving Islam. He has stopped blaming society and takes his music back to the banlieue.
Now I go even in the mosque to talk about this, because since 9/11 you have beaucoup d'amalgame, a lot of confusion in the mind of Muslim and no Muslim, you know. So I try to change things, to explain things. I have to. It's a civic duty for me.
Abd El Malik wants to be seen as a role model for a generation of rootless, desperate youth, easy prey to the lure of violence and fundamentalism. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Paris.
You can see photos and hear other stories in our series at our website, npr.org.